What about after an assault occurs? What are advocates asking schools to be doing, and what kinds of things do they need to have in place?
It's often very difficult in the wake of a sexual assault that's really high profile, that everyone hears about it, to take effective action because people's emotions can be running really high and people can be very divided over who said what and who's right, who's wrong, who's guilty, who's not. And that's the point when it's important that advocates, activists, you know, keep their cool and advocate to the administration, not about you need to kick this person out right away or you need to do this right away, but to take quick action, responsible action, respond to the needs of the victim, and take action to protect students and to make sure that whatever the process is that the school is obliged to take is followed carefully. We've certainly seen cases where schools have written policies that seem adequate, but they aren't actually followed in practice.
This comes back to bite schools in Title IX lawsuits. There was a high-profile Title IX lawsuit in the state of Washington where a large university basically told the victim to go away. They swept the incident under the rug. They didn't want to take any actions against the person who committed the violence because he was a high-profile athlete and they didn't want this to get out in the media. And all of that came back to haunt them in the Title IX lawsuit.
Yeah, we've seen that a lot where students encounter sort of a wall of silence and are given the runaround and said, you know, oh, we're taking care of it. It's none of your business. Stay out. And we've seen administrations treat victims rather callously, saying, you know, we're taking care of it. And meanwhile, putting off their disciplinary hearings for extended periods of time, which puts someone in a horrible limbo situation where they don't know what's going on and they're stuck on campus encountering the person that assaulted them. So in the wake of an assault, it's very important as advocates to not put undue pressure on the victim and to force her to come forward or play any sort of mascot role, but it, at the same time, to use pressure, use letters from parents, alumni, op-eds in the school newspaper to push the administration to take responsibility for the role they play and the role they can play in preventing future assaults.
That's important. And one of the things that Title IX cases have demanded of schools is that they take prompt and effective actions. And so just doing nothing for months on end isn't an acceptable option under Title IX, and that's an important thing for students to know.
One of the questions that we get a lot, we hear from students whose schools have sort of pushed them off or stalled them by suspending their internal disciplinary proceeding if there's a criminal case pending. And I was wondering if that was a violation of Title IX's requirement for a prompt response.
It can be. That's going to vary case by case, but one important federal court case that we talk about in our fact sheet was against the University of Georgia. A sexual assault happened on campus that was committed by more than one student athlete, and university administrators had recruited at least one of these athletes knowing that he had committed sexual violence at other schools. One of the things the court discussed in that case is the fact that the school did not have a good excuse for taking a long time in its investigation, and it didn't help the school to say, well, the police are looking into criminal charges, so we're going to suspend or hold off on our internal disciplinary procedures. The court said that doesn't make any sense. The court said just because there are pending criminal charges, that doesn't affect the school's ability to take its own actions and its own procedures. So it's not acceptable under Title IX to wait around and do nothing and think that you're in the clear because the police are looking into it.
So it sounds like something that students need to do, besides looking at how a policy is written, is to talk to other students about how it's been enforced to see if there's a lack of consistency.
Absolutely, because the school could have the greatest policy in the world, but if they refuse to give the victim access to the procedures she's supposed to have access to, that can violate Title IX. So it's what matters is what the school actually does and not only what they say they do.
So it sounds like students have a lot of research to do, but it'll work.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't think that students need to feel like they need to be a lawyer in order to get their administrators to sit down at the table. I think it's enough to arm yourself with some facts about Title IX, and which we have in our fact sheet, and bring your administrators to the table and say, look, other schools have had to pay large sums of money because they were violating Title IX. Other schools have ended up reforming their victim services and other procedures after a long, bitter lawsuit. You know, don't you want to avoid that? Let's sit down and see if we can't do those reforms sitting around the table rather than in court.